Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stop, please. First of all, I just want to acknowledge all the kids in the room. You don't have to be quiet. You don't have to shush them. They're in here because we can't have kids department yet. We can't have our Dwell kids. They're still not allowing us to do that for various reasons. And so the noise doesn't bother me. And I don't want you to feel awkward if your kid's making noise. I just want you to be at ease. Nicole and I differ like that. And when my kids made noise at restaurants or whatever, she would on an airplane, she'd get all whatever. And I'm like, babe, everybody has kids. It's okay. Let them make noise. So she's the one that would get nervous. But I just want you to be okay with kids making noise, all right? I'm okay with it. Amen. It is such a good day, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the room. Happy Father's Day to everyone else that has a dad. May you have a good Father's Day. I went to see my dad. I wish we had the picture. Yesterday, they had a parade out at the nursing home where he's staying, and we haven't been able to visit for like 3 months since this coronavirus started, and they quarantined. They actually started quarantining before they locked down everywhere, maybe a week or two before. So he's sad that we can't come see him, but it was just so sweet watching him sitting there in that wheelchair waving at us, and he's got the mask on, and I can tell that he's talking to the nurse, explaining who each one was, because there was, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us there, and it was just great to see my dad. Today I'm going to talk about the faith of our fathers. So I'm going to share some scripture. I'm going to talk about my dad a little bit. Talk about my commitment as the father of this house to steward a move of God, to steward authentic visitation from heaven, that we will encounter heaven on earth, that we will see the prayer of Jesus answered. let me just kind of dive in. I've got three kids. My oldest is 22, Denver Cole. And then I've got Madison Grace right up here. She's 19. Oh, okay, thank you. And then Carson, where is Carson? Hey, buddy. Carson is 11. And so I have three different kids. Jocelyn was saying this at our meeting this week. They've got three kids, and they have to parent them all three differently because they have three different personalities. So now Cole has a fiance who is going to be a part of our family coming up August 1st, right? Yeah. And I've already discovered she has a different personality. The New Yorker comes out every now and then, and she gets a little sassy, but I like that part of her. So it's you have to learn how each one is wired so that you can adequately nurture them as a father. As a pastor, I've learned I have to pastor people differently. There are black people and white people. It's like a lot of churches that I've been involved with over the years, they'll put their entire staff, they'll give them these personality tests. Anybody ever had one of the personality tests, right? And you learn if you're, help me, babe, what are they? ENFP. I was an ENFP. I don't even remember what all that means. And there's well, it depends on what personality test you took. One test, I was a golden retriever. No surprise there, right? Does that make sense to you? You understand that in this personality test, I am the golden retriever. I don't remember if there were any skunks in that personality test, but I think there probably was. So when you gather with a group of people, even with families, the way you even discover how to get along with your spouse, you discover that they don't think like you think. They're not wired the way you're wired. And a lot of times we end up in arguments because I want her to see things my way. I just want to be heard. And at the same time, she wants me to see things her way. She thinks I ought to automatically clean the house without being told. Just, you know, if she's out of town, you know, for if she has to go somewhere, like she had to go to her parents when her dad had surgery, and she comes home and expects the house to be clean without being told. So but the thing is, when you live with someone long enough, you realize what makes them happy, and you start doing all the things to make sure they're happy when they walk in the room. Not just because she's going to blow up on me. No. She only blows up on the kids. Am I right? Can I get an amen? We get those. Because my oldest son, for instance, has always been the compliant son. Easy to get along with, all until yesterday. We had a little conflict yesterday, but for the most part, Cole has always been the easy one. And he was the easy one to get past the conflict, because that's the way he's wired. Gracie, on the other hand, is a little fireball. Strong will. She has always had a strong will. I remember before she was 2 years old, beginning the fight about what she was going to wear. And Nicole had a light came on, and she was like, okay, this is the way I'm going to do this. She pulled out two outfits out of the closet. Do you want to wear this one or this one? And then she got to be part of the decision making, and that stopped the arguing because she got to help decide. But Nicole was really, I'm not going to use the word manipulating, but she was, you know, it's like you learn how to pick your fights. When you're dealing with people, you learn that you have to nurture different people different ways. There are people that need attaboys. There are people that don't care about attaboys. They don't even think about attaboys. They're grateful when they come, but they don't need them to feel valued. Thanks for helping me, babe. You just keep it up. Let me stay on. Attaboy, Pastor David. Attaboy, John, for attaboy, Pastor. Thank you. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, starting with the 22nd verse. I think they have it. It's in the NIV. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. I love that passage of scripture. Have another passage, Psalm 103, verse 13 in the Passion Translation. The same way a loving father feels toward his children, that's but a sample of your tender feelings toward us. He's talking about our Heavenly Father, your beloved children who live in awe of you. Have another passage, and I don't think you have my translation. I'm just going to read it. Did you not put it up at all, Cole? No, you said we don't have this translation, so we have to, like, buy this translation. I don't think there was enough time to buy the translation. This happened with you once when you wanted the ESV. I'm just going to read it. Psalm 78. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Even when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Yeah. He wanted us to have an understanding that God is someone you can approach. Yeah. He's not some ethereal, mystical, angry, white-bearded, old mean man sitting on a cloud just waiting to cast judgment. But he said, say our Father. It's an endearing Abba Father. Say our Father. Everybody say our Father. Another passage, and then I'm going to move on into this next little piece. The Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments was to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. I talked about Cole and I talked about Gracie. I didn't talk about Carson. You have to parent Carson in an entirely different way. Carson's my buddy. Carson, can you hear me? I love you, Carson. He's glaring at me because don't anybody look at Carson. I love you, Carson, my bud. You're an amazing young man. Can you say, people, let me tell you about my... Did he say it? He always goes, best friend. He used to sing it when he was younger. People, let me tell you about my... And then his high voice, best friend. And then his voice changed and it's, people, let me tell you about my... best friend. Any fathers in the house, wave your hand, fathers. If you are here, I'm just going to read a couple of notes. And fatherhood has almost become a lost treasure. The concept of being a good dad seems to have gotten lost in the midst of careers, hobbies, cars, TV, and social networking. Maybe, just maybe, this pandemic has helped us to refocus on relationships, especially the important ones. Wow, yeah. Now, COVID-19 is really bad, really bad. But I'm convinced that the promise from Romans 8, chapter 28, verse is truer today than ever. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Have you found any good during this trial? Have you discovered, have you decided to focus on the negative and live in a grip of fear? Or have you enjoyed the time? I remember when all of this was kind of in the throes of maybe a week or two, I remember Nicole just sitting and watching the kids one day and got all weepy. And I'm like, what did I do? but she just was so cherishing the moments that we had with our kids, even though Gracie rebelled a lot and was out of the house more than she was supposed to. Am I right? Have you become a better father, a better son? Wow. Better wife or better daughter? Yeah, she smiled. Yes, yes, yes. You've heard me talk about my dad before, many occasions, because dads are important. On Father's Day, I can't help but think about my dad. I wish I would have had them put the picture up. It's the sweetest little thing. He's got a dress shirt on and pajama bottoms and a mask, because he always wears those dress shirts. So it's a long sleeve shirt that he would wear with the suit, and the suit is probably hanging in his room. with pajama bottoms and house shoes and a mask. But I can't help but think all of the amazing times with my dad. There's one memory I have, though. Bobby, I don't know if you were in the car, but we had gone to Tyler, and we were little, and we were fighting in the back seat. Well, in this case, it wasn't you and Lisa. It was me and Lisa. And because it's usually Bobby and Lisa were the ones that would fight. And I remember it's raining. It's pouring down rain once, and Bobby and Lisa are fighting, and we pull the car over, and Mom gets them out and starts whipping them under a bridge. happy Father's Day. So in one case, I remember we were driving through some hills, and my dad started getting sick. So he had to get out of the car, and Mom started driving, and Dad is sitting on the passenger side, and I'm in the back seat fighting with my sister. And so I can't even remember the details, except we were saying bad things to each other. I can't imagine I would ever say a bad thing to anybody, but evidently that was what was going on. And so my dad turned around and made us apologize and kiss right on the lips. And then at the time, I looked at my dad, and he just had this big, I know now, he just thought it was cute. But at the time, it just looked like this. That's what it felt like when he laughed because I had kissed my sister. We had to apologize and kiss on the mouth. You should have seen my older brothers, because that would happen to them on occasion too. You have to apologize and kiss right on the mouth. But I always kissed my dad. When it's time to go to bed, I remember coming in the living room and kissing Mom and my dad. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I have these great memories. I had to forgive my dad. I carried that emotional wound of him. No, I didn't. But sometimes, you know, as we're wired in ways, and some of us would carry that forever. And that become a wound, and think that there's conflict in your relationship, or you would allow it to create a wedge. But I refused to think about what I thought, what I saw as failures. My parents were flawed. We are all, if you don't know this yet, we are all flawed. We're one decision away from making a mess of our lives. It just takes a decision. But we become surrounded by people and accountable to each other, and we're able to maintain our path and stay on a good course. But we could focus on the negative things, or we can focus on the good things. I have nothing but awe for the life my dad demonstrated. Nobody taught my dad how to cast out devils. My dad didn't even have a high school education, but I saw him cast out devils. Nobody taught my dad how to raise the dead, but I saw my dad speak over a dead woman and she come back to life. Nobody taught my dad how to heal the sick, but I saw him pray for blind women and their eyes open up. I saw my dad pray for people with cancerous growths inside the sides of their neck, and just the growth would disappear. My dad was my hero. When I saw all of this, and it was developing this thing in me. I remember, I want to say maybe 15 years ago, when we were at the Holy Spirit Conference in Las Vegas, and Bill Johnson was speaking, and he was sharing testimonies about all the miracles happening at Bethel Church. And something came alive in my spirit, because I had become part of a church movement and revivals and encountered the presence of the Lord, but I hadn't seen the miracles that my dad saw, that my dad walked in. If I ever needed a miracle, I know still today my dad, in his limited ability to think, would still move heaven And I'd see a miracle if I needed a miracle. I'd call my dad still and say, Dad, I need you to pray. And he'd give me a little sermon. And I could give you the sermon because I've heard it 1,000 times over the last year. But I remember being in that meeting and thinking, hearing all these testimonies, I could take a lot of time and give you some. They're just awe-inspiring miracles. And I remember thinking, this is my inheritance. This is my, an inheritance is something that you get that you don't have to work for or pay for. There comes a time in your life when you're given access to the account. And so I began to dig because I wanted to be a steward of the supernatural, like I watched my dad live his entire life. And that's why you hear me talk about signs and wonders and miracles, and I contend for it. And the revival just poised to pour in upon us will be accompanied by signs and wonders. We will see it. I promise you, we've already seen in this church enough miracles to celebrate for the rest of our lives if we never saw anything else. But God has great intent for more and more and more and more. So I celebrate my dad. I celebrate him. I don't rehearse in my mind a list of my dad's failures. I celebrate the good. And in turn, I try to be the best dad I can be. I've discovered another wonderful truth about fatherhood. It never ends. I'm not going to throw Cole under the bus. But he's about to get married, but he still needs his dad. Gracie is 19, but she still needs her dad. I love it when she calls me. I love when she said, Dad, I'm getting coffee and I don't have any money. I checked my account and I don't have, can you cash app? and I do. And just watching them learn life at this stage doesn't mean that I release the fathering spirit, that I will continue and always be their father. And I've got years to go with Carson still. So I want to throw in a little surprise element today about this whole fathering thing. I have my stories. I've talked to you about the faith of my father, how it instilled in me this desire to walk in the fire of God. It's like literally as 7 or 8 year old, kid watching my dad cast a devil out of a woman made me realize what I was capable of doing. And there have been times in my life in ministry, I remember sitting in church where Nicole and I got married, the church we were part of, sitting in church after worship, and this woman comes in and sits next to me, and she is possessed. I realize immediately she's possessed when she turns to me and with a man's voice says, Satan is happy. Something like that. And I just looked at her and right in the eye said, shut up and get out of here. And she did. I could give you account after account where in that church, for some reason, I was the pastor on staff that had to deal with all the demoniacs. But there was this confidence in me, and I never looked for it. I never pursued it, but just when it happened, I would just step into it because I watched my dad with confidence. And so, John Brockman, I know you talk a lot about your dad all the time. you slobber and cry and snot when we talk about how much you love your dad. So I just want you to come and give me a little dad testimony. I want everybody, for those that have never, maybe we have new people. Maybe they've been coming the last few weeks, but they haven't heard you speak before about your dad. Your dad was here back at the end of the year, spoke for us when we were meeting over at Noah's, and he's just a sweet, beautiful man of God, a pastor for many, many years. And so I just want you to give me a little dad testimony.
I won't look at anybody so I don't cry. No. First off, my dad is 6'6". And then you look at me and say, what happened? My mom's 5 foot, so that's what happened. But dad's an amazing man, pastor, evangelist. So I started traveling with him when I was 3 years old. I went on my first trip with him, and we traveled all over the country.
Oh, and it goes. Waterworks! Waterworks!
So many things I could share, but he is one of my best friends and a spiritual father. And, you know, I got whoopings. But I got a lot of love and a lot of word. And two things I'll share with you. First, I'll never forget this. When we lived in Northern Virginia, we'd go to Baltimore and spend the day there. And they had this thing called the Fudge Factory. They'd make fudge. You know, they'd ring the bell, like, making the fudge. But I remember we got in our car, and my dad had such a passion for homeless people. We would bus in 50 homeless people from D.C. every Sunday to our church. And we would feed them breakfast, give them Jesus. And dad would make sure they sang in the choir. They're like, if you don't like this, you could leave. He told all these people to leave. Like, if you don't like homeless people, I don't care if they don't smell like you. They had AIDS. They had, like, people came in cross-dressing. But we loved them. And I remember we were at the Baltimore, and we got in the car, and, you know, you turn your car on, it's at night, the lights come on, and in front of us was this garbage can. And when we flipped the lights on, we all looked up before he pulled reverse to go out, and there was a black man, digging through the garbage. My dad's like, hold on. And he shuts the door. And so we're just like watching this like a movie in the mirror of the, you know, in the windshield of the car. You're watching this black man digging through the garbage. And my dad just wraps his arm around him. Gave him all the cash he had. Just held that man. And I'll never forget that for as long as I live. But just so much. And then the other thing is, traveling with him, why I started crying before was when I started traveling when I was 3, playing drums and just going everywhere he went. And my favorite part of all of that, number one, I knew all of his sermons. But when we'd get done with church, and he'd go out to eat with the pastors, and they'd tell their jokes and talk about church and eat pie. He'd always give me his suit jacket. You know, he's 6'6", so that's a big old jacket. And I just would cover up with it. And just felt so protected and surrounded, not because of the jacket, but because of what the jacket represented. And to this day, I told my dad, he's supposed to send me one. I said, I need you to send me one of your suit jackets. I want you to spray all the Polo cologne you got all up in there. Because I want it. I want to have that. Because when I wrap myself in it, it shows me not just the love you have for me, but the love God has for me. And to be surrounded with that big old jacket full of Polo. So I could tell so many stories, but I love my dad.
Let me say, because what I love watching you do now is you're in public all the time, and the kids right now get embarrassed because there he goes again, doing the same thing, reaching out to the unreachable, or looking for opportunities to minister to people at the mall, or and they're like, "Oh, Mom, he's doing it again." But so as at this stage of their life, they might not can appreciate how incredible of an example that is. So I celebrate you as a dad, and you're my friend and my brother. I love you. Come here, Reggie. So twofold here. First of all, I want to say happy Father's Day. Emily, you want to stand up and show them? You want to show them your little pooch? Here we go, right there. Oh, look. I didn't know they were going to do that. I love it. Okay, so I really don't know. I thought I understood your family dynamic. When we were at Covenant Church together, I would see you with your mom, a white woman. I didn't realize. I thought you were part of a product of a blended family. You were in a blended family, but she was your stepmother. But I thought she was your mom and your dad was black. Until we were having a gathering over at Noah's, and you introduced me to your black mom, and I was like, oh. Okay, and so I realized there were parts of your story that I didn't know, and I just want you to kind of give me your dad's story. And
are you gonna cry too? Oh, probably. My story is a bit unusual. Bear with me. My dad actually is no longer here with me. I lost my dad when I was 16, and he was my best friend. And today is a bittersweet day for me because, like they said, my daughter is coming, but also my dad is not with me, and I struggle with that almost on a daily basis. But I want to, like Pastor David said, share my dad. My dad, I didn't have a story where my dad wasn't in my life. My dad was, how my family was, my mom and dad were together and they separated before I could remember, so when I was a baby. And through that process, my dad remarried to my stepmom, who is my white mom. So I grew up with both dynamics, white and black. But my dad, my God, he was not, and I don't say this to discount him, but he wasn't a pastor or he wasn't, but he was a dad. Like he was, I have no better representation of what I should be as a father than from my dad. Because we struggled, I mean, financially, they struggled with their marriage, my stepmom and my dad, but my dad would never, when it came to the kids, he would never try to let that go to us. Like if there was a time where there was a fight or something, I remember it so clearly. One day, there was just a fight, and my dad got me, and he was like, "Let's go play basketball." And I grew up. Sorry, I'm just rabbit trailing all over the place, but I grew up wanting to be in the NBA because of my dad, because he would always play with me and watch the games with me, and he. A lot of my spirit that I have, like my joy and my smile and whatever, that's all. I'm not all, but a lot of it's from my dad. My dad was he just set tile for people's houses. He was not an interior decorator, but he just set out tile in bathrooms and remodeled them, and it was beautiful. And I feel like I got a lot of the creative side of me from him. And so I would say the testimony of my dad is just, he represented to me what it meant to be a father, even though he's gone now. And a lot of everything that he taught me how to deal with struggle. And through this season, and this season isn't going to be done for me, but when my dad passed, I actually fully started to understand what it meant as God as a father, like you said, because ever since that day, I haven't been the same with God. It's been so, I don't look at God as just a high, like just sitting down staring at me or judging everything that I make. I truly see him as a dad because I see him as my dad. Yeah. And it's just so good. And I'm so ready for my baby, Aria Rain Thomas, and I'm just...
Not Aria Davida.
I'm so ready, and I'm so grateful for... I'm grateful for my dad, and I'm grateful what he represented, and I'm grateful for my dad's that I have in this church. And the testimony of my dad is me. I don't really have a lot of words, but it's me.
So God, I just bless Reggie and Emily as this baby comes and lights up their life. I just declare blessing on their union, blessing financially upon them. I thank you for incredible provision. I declare Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, comes to them in an incredible way and elevate them financially. Elevate them as they get ready to parent a little girl that we'll celebrate and love and be grandparents. But we just declare the blessing of the Lord over them. We thank you for how they serve and just the joy that they walk in spite of the struggle. I know Emily had a tough year with the loss of her brother, but God, you just know how to take all the difficult things in our life and work it for our good. I just thank you. I pray that you would show her such restoration and healing and peace more than she even could imagine. And so, God, we just love them. We just wrap our love around them like a warm blanket and declare they're blessed and favored. And I just see a house. I just call this house. I don't know how long it'll take to get, but I just thank you, Lord, for extreme blessing that they will be able to get a house that will be theirs. Not a rental, but a mortgage payment that will be theirs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I love you. I love you. When you were talking, I remember
my dad. I think I remember hearing him say one bad word. Not my mom. My mom would get mad and she would say the S word. That was always her word. But my dad once, when I was a kid, I was little, I was asleep, and I wake up to my mom and dad, and my dad said the D word. And I just started crying because I never heard my dad cuss before. And my dad wouldn't even say the word sex, he would spell it out. I mean, right? And they're just, oh, we got it. Pause. pause. Oh, he's just going to love it that we put that picture up in church. He's going to love it. I don't know if he will love it or not because he's wearing PJ bottoms, but he like he'll get up and put a suit on and a tie to go to the grocery store. Well, he doesn't anymore, but they won't let him out. But we took his car away because he kept getting lost. But that was my dad. Larry Vizay, where are you, Larry? Larry, come over here, sir. Just another couple stories, maybe. I want you to see the dynamic of some of the people. You know, it's like life. Some of us have good dad stories. Some of us not so good dad stories. And the beauty is the redemption in the kingdom. I'm really not certain. What I do know about you is that you are being an amazing father to children that didn't come to you naturally. We're believing for that too. But I want to give you the mic and give us your life. Not your life. That'd take a long time. Don't preach. Okay. Don't preach. Okay. Here you go.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I love this man so much.
No, I love you too. I love all of y'all. Can I get them? I know I'm going to embarrass them real quick. Four of y'all.
Come on.
So these are my four babies. This one is going to be the most embarrassed right here. But yes, I have three children that did not come from me. But I believe that God sent them to me because they've blessed me so much. And I'm a big crybaby, so it's already starting. but I wanna say publicly because there was one instance when Daisha and I first got married, and I took them, and I love shoes. If y'all don't know that, I love shoes, so we went shoe shopping, and there was a couple there that asked me or said that my children are so beautiful, and I hesitated because they were my adopted children, or I married their mother, and whew. I don't know if y'all heard that, but it was only because I wasn't sure how you would take it if I said that I'm their father. So you'll always be mine, okay? Always be mine. Y'all can go sit down. I'll never get through this with them up here. Okay,
water
so.
Waterworks.
Yeah. My dad, I'll just say that my dad, let me get one more of those, please. Thank you. my dad, he lost his father at 16. And he was such a, I mean, my dad is still with me. He is such a inspiring individual. He and I are.
Do you mean whipped?
Oh, please. I got beat. but lots of love also, right? And my dad was not a man of many words, but the one thing that I learned from him is servanthood and his work ethic. And I would always tell him, after I got saved, set free, delivered, and sanctified, amen, that I've never met or known a better pastor that said no words. And I've always appreciated him for that. And he was very strict. They would call me strict, but they have no idea. but Dad always kept me sheltered and always wanted to hide me from the world. And it was through that in my adulthood that I learned that everything has a ministry. Like what you listen to, what you watch, what you see, what you hear is ministering to you whether you want it to or not. So I try to, my favorite word for them is balance. I learned that from Dad. I learned that everything has a ministry, even though he never used those words. I understand what he was trying to do for me. Once I became a father, obviously you understand a lot more. And also with the my spiritual children, I realized at that point what it is to be loved by God, because I didn't understand that concept. Although I believed and always thought of myself as a servant, right? Like the slave of God. And I accepted that role openly and loved that role. But the Bible talks about it in Romans 8:15, that you have not been given the spirit of bondage, but God has adopted us through the spirit of adoption, right? So I never quite understood that until they came into my life. So I appreciate the children. They're such a blessing, and all children are such a blessing. And I love the babies. I absolutely love the babies. And I just hope that you all cherish every moment that you have with your kids. And, and children cherish every moment that you have with your dad. Some of us can't, right? Some of us don't get the phone call. Some of us don't get the text message anymore. Whether it be an adult or a child, we've lost people. And I think that it's 100% our responsibility to love what we have while we have it.
So good. That's great. Yeah, that's great.
I love you too.
I love you, Larry. I have just a little piece of something I want to wrap up. I'm just having another dad memory. I only remember being spanked by my dad once when I was 13. It's because I'd written my first song, and my Aunt Nancy came over, and he wanted me to sing it for her, and I was embarrassed, and I wouldn't do it. So when she left, he took me to his bedroom and whipped me for disobeying him. So that sounds trivial, or it sounds like harsh, or I don't know, depending on your perspective. I remember maybe when I'm 30 or 31, my dad is riding with me in the car. He and my mom were up in Chicago. I think this might have been after we were married. We're driving in the car, and my dad said, "David Lee," is what he called me. He still calls me David Lee. If I called him right now, "Hello, David Lee. You remember that one time when I whipped you for not singing that song when I'm 30 years old?" I say, "Yeah, Dad, I remember. I just want to tell you I'm sorry." It was the sweetest. Because again, that's my dad. That's my dad. He carried that, and I didn't even know he was carrying it. I was done with it. But it was just a beautiful. I love my dad. Now my mom whipped me several times. I remember once she was whipping me. She was vacuuming, and she told me not to go over to this part of the room, because she had a glass of tea sitting there, and you're going to spill my tea. Well, I moved over there and I spilled her tea. I didn't mean to spill her tea. She took that shoe off, and just went to going. There was another time all six kids were doing something. We all got in trouble for something. And now mom was also a diabetic. And so she had whipped two of them. She had us all in the room. She's going to whip all of us for participating. She had whipped two of them, and then she passed out because her sugar went low. And I was so grateful for that. Just being transparent. I'm so glad. Woo. Somebody get her the orange juice and she'll be all right. I don't get whipped today. I want to say, before I wrap this up, I've got some incredible young men in this house that I get to be a father to. I mean, I'm a father to the whole congregation, but specifically in the anointing that God has called me to is to mentor young people, pour into, train up in the realm of worship. And so, Reggie, my son, I love you. Our guest bass player today, Bryce Vaughn, my son, he always calls me dad. You don't know him. This is his first time with us. My son, Kevin Leon, my son, I love you. James, is that you there? James, no, I love you. I love you, sir. And your kids, the most beautiful boys. I love you. There's John. John, my older son, my stepson. I am just honored to be a father in this house and to get to love. And I want you guys to come up and get. I'm gonna finish this up with a song. But first, I want to read the story that inspired the song. It comes from Luke, the 15th chapter, starting with the 20th verse in the Passion Translation. I love this. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, "Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be." The father interrupted and said, "Son, you're home now." Turning to his servants, the father said, "Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found." And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Now the older son. Different kids get parented differently. They're wired differently. Now the older son was out working in the field when his brother returned. And as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. So he called over one of the servants and asked, "What's going on?" The servant replied, "It's your younger brother. He's returned home and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming." The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him, "Come and enjoy the feast with us." The son said, "Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty you've asked as a faithful son? And I've never once disobeyed you, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you even given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He's come back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living. And here you are throwing a great feast to celebrate for him." The father said, "My son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right
to celebrate like this and be overjoyed, because the brother of yours was once dead and gone, but now he is alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he is found. It's a beautiful picture. Maybe some of you sitting here identify with the one who served and served and served and been here, and then you see somebody else get more attention. I just want you to know the Father's heart. And I want to just say to everyone here, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. But perhaps you identify with the other son, and your life has left you in this lurch, this place of uncertainty. It's easy to come in here and think everybody's got it together, but perhaps there was someone who strayed. I want you to know the Father's heart. Son, you're home now. You're home now. You're home now. So I wrote this song with a friend of mine, a son, about 3 years ago, and I've never sung it. I just helped write it. So I'm going to attempt. I feel like I have to tell you that before I start it in case I mess up. It's called Back to the Father. Y'all ready? Let's go, and then we're almost done. Somebody just needs to declare that.
I have found in you my identity. I'm home.
So, just want to commit to you as a father, spiritual father. I commit to be the best papa, the best dad, the best covering to the people that make this their church. I will love you. I will embrace you when Nicole allows me to. When this whole COVID thing is over, you're embraced, you're loved, you're welcome. There's a place here for you. This is home for you if you will let it be. I promise to steward a move of God that will be transformative, that will shake not just our city, but a move that I will nurture my walk with God. I will commit to a prayer life that will touch heaven and cause a reaction in this house, that I will carry that weight to be the catalyst. This week, I don't even know what God's doing, but it was, I sensed like talking about the move of God and what I feel God stirring something in me. And it was like, I felt a little tornado inside my chest. And it caused me to think of Elijah in the whirlwind. I'm not getting caught up, but Elijah was a fathering spirit. When God sends a particular spirit in the earth, like Elijah, spirits don't die, they just find a new host. And when Elijah was carried up, his son, Elisha, caught the mantle and became the new host. And there was such a deposit of this spirit assigned to this man that years later, the people of Israel are in a battle, in a war, and a man is killed, and they take this dead soldier and they find this tomb and they throw this dead man onto the bones of Elisha, and he's resurrected back to life. Because when spirits are released in the earth by God, they don't die, they just find a new host. Hundreds in hundreds of years, a man dressed in camel's wool and eating locusts and wild honey, John the Baptist, Jesus spoke of him and said, the spirit of Elijah has indeed come. And so I don't know exactly what God is trying to reveal, but there is a move of God promised to this house. There is a move of God promised to this house, but the promise doesn't just come because we sit here and wait for it to come. It comes from people who make it their top priority to pray, to host, to do everything, to eliminate, to die to yourself, to live a surrendered life. But we, and as your father, I commit that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.